Okay. So we just talked about compass rose. Gonna buzz a little bit here. Cardinal directions, you know, but you probably just have never heard that term before. Cardinal means kind of your primary directions, north, south, east, and west, your basic four that are gonna be represented with your compass rose. Those are your cardinal directions. But we know that's not typically quite enough as far as describing where something is, right? You can't just say, well, Aberdeen is west of the Twin Cities. That's not totally accurate, right? It doesn't give you quite enough information. If you go straight west, you're going to end up in a different place, not Aberdeen. So we needed more directions, so we came up with intermediate directions. Okay? So they're halfway in between. They're exactly what they sound like. Those are our northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast. It gives us more tools to describe location, where we're going. Okay? Typically on maps with cities, you're going to have them represented by a dot. Okay. Different size dots can mean different things. They can represent size of populations. On my map back there, if you have a small dot, and I'd have to look at the scale of what it indicates again, but if you have a small dot, it's going to typically indicate a certain population. If you have a big dot, it's going to indicate a larger population, like 100,000 people or more. Okay. If you have a certain symbol, what is very typical with capitals is you're going to have, we all studied states and capitals, I'm sure, right? Growing up, you're going to have a circle with a star in it. That's pretty typical on just about any map. It's going to indicate capitals. Okay. Boundary lines, they highlight the borders between countries, right? Borders between countries or states, depending on the kind of map that you have. Okay. Depending on the kind of map you have, you're going to have that. Again, boundary lines, they're not real, right? We made them up. They're fictional. There is no such thing as an actual boundary line between Canada and America. It's an imaginary line. Totally human-made. Buzzing on. Okay. Talked about scale, using scale, why that matters. Okay, because you have to know what it's representing. If we're going to say that that globe is the same as that map, obviously, they're not nearly the same size. So scale is going to tell us again how much a certain chunk of that map represents as far as actual distance. Okay. Obviously, even that big map back there, although it's very big, is not exactly the size of the world, right? It's a scale version of it. Okay. But it's proportional. Different types of maps. You get small scale maps, and they're kind of the inverse of what it sounds like. Small scale map shows you a large area, but in little detail. Small scale map shows you a large area, but in little detail. So, this guy right here, small scale map. Okay. It's big, but the details on the map are fairly small, fairly condensed, fairly pushed together because it's trying to show you a large area. The opposite of that is a large scale map, right? Shows you small areas with a lot of detail. If you got a city map of Aberdeen, it would show you all the streets. It would show you only what is inside the city boundary of Aberdeen, but it's going to show you in a lot of detail, right? Aberdeen's not even on this map because it doesn't give you much detail. But on a large scale map, everything's going to be blown up, everything's going to be larger. It's going to show you a small area blown up in a lot of detail. Buzzing on just a little bit. Talked about relative location, again, how we describe things. You know, such and such a place is northwest of this place. That's how we describe things quite a bit. Different types of maps, different kind of main categories. Physical maps are going to show you natural features. They're going to show you mountains, lakes, rivers, everything that was put there, or that was there originally, that was natural. So physical features are natural features. Very important term. It's going to come up over and over and over again in the course. Physical features are natural features. On this map includes physical features, again, look at the mountains. It's showing you, kind of, it's trying to show you in three dimension, basically, even though it's not three dimensional. Mountains right here, it's showing you the deserts, it's showing you the bodies of water, it's showing you all those natural things. Again, I'm going to kind of buzz. I'm going to skip over a couple of things here and there. Political maps are going to show you human-made features. Human-made features being what, political boundaries, because again, that's a human creation. We're not actually there. They're imaginary. Cities weren't actually there before people created them, right? Okay. So political maps are going to show us all the stuff that's human-made. Pretty big distinction. So again, that's going to be an important one to remember. We're going to talk about physical and political quite a bit. When we study maps, we're going to study physical maps. We're also going to study political maps. When we study our countries, okay, you're going to have to memorize where some countries are. You're also going to have to memorize where certain physical features and identify where physical features are. So we're going to deal with different types of maps. You're going to need to be able to know, well, I need a physical map to find a river. Because if you flip to the political map, there aren't going to be any rivers on there. It's not going to help you out. So, and we're going to go over this many, many times. So if it doesn't all sink in right away, that's okay. It'll happen as we go along. More types of maps. Because again, probably walking into this class, you probably thought there's one or two kinds of maps. Lots of different kinds. Another category, thematic maps, or maps that emphasize a single idea or a particular type of information. Okay. That map back there is giving you a lot of different types, kind of combined. But some maps are going to give you just one kind. For example, it might just tell you what the climate. You might have a map like this with that's all like orange and red and green and just different colors and has no other detail on that map. There are maps like that, and they're just telling you climate. They're just telling you what the climate is in these different places. That's a thematic map. It's expressing certain types of ideas. You see these in textbooks quite a bit. Okay? Maps that are telling you kind of one particular piece of information about a certain place. So a thematic map is another category. Another category of maps. Qualitative maps. They're going to use colors, symbols, lines or dots to show information related to a specific idea. Okay, you see these a lot in history books in order to show different kind of historical events, different things that happen at different times. You might see, in a history book, you might see this is what France looked like in 1850. Okay. The boundary's now different, things look different now. So a qualitative map is going to show you information related to a specific idea, a specific time period. Going to show up in textbooks quite a bit. Another huge component of geography is movement. People don't stay in the same place, right? How many people move to Aberdeen from somewhere else? Okay. Geographers are fascinated by this because we're always moving. We're always moving. Okay. Your ancestors didn't start here. Okay. Everybody came from somewhere else. Everybody came from somewhere else. We're always migrating, we're always moving. Okay. One of the main map types that you're going to see as we go on, and they're in your book, of course, are flow line maps. They illustrate movement of something. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's goods, sometimes it's goods or products, sometimes it's weather movement. On this map, they're showing you the movements, even though you probably didn't realize this until I just was talking about it, they're showing you the movement of goods. How goods go from one place to another. Now, they're not giving you a ton of information, but they're showing you routes used to get goods from one place to another. So, all different kinds of maps. And you're going to need to know just a little bit of detail about the different kinds of maps as we go on and study about it. And wrapping up, how geographers make maps today, as I said, they don't draw them out by hand anymore. Like everybody else, they've joined the technological movement. They use, and most geographers today, cartographers that are making maps today, use something called geographic information systems. Okay, it's a computer software. You can generate lots of maps really quick. You can also plug in a bunch of data, kind of like Excel, and it'll churn out a map for you showing whatever kind of information you want to show. If you plugged in a bunch of like economic data about Aberdeen, it'll churn out a map showing you different economic data about Aberdeen. Okay. So again, geographers are joining the 21st century as well. So the craft has changed. that's it for